There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart, and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, everybody. It is the last day of February 2012. It's the 29th, and it's just about 1 minute after 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Before we get into the show, I want to make sure that I say hello and I say thank you to all of you around the globe. We have people listening in so many countries. It's wonderful that you listen. I know a lot of you don't have access to emails, and it's just, we're so grateful that you do listen wherever you are in the world. And also to those people that listen to the show every week in your cubicles at your job. You listen on your phones with your raspberry, strawberry, boysenberry, blackberry, whatever kind of berry machine you listen on. We're glad that you're there. I wanted to make a special note to say thank you to all of you, because you're not strangers, and I don't want you to think that you've been ignored. I just wanted to make sure that we made a special point of that. Let's talk about, where is your strength? Where is your thoughts? Where are you looking? Where do you spend your time? Do you spend your time on this planet as one of God's children, as a spirit being? Or do you fight and scratch tooth and nail to make it from one day to another? Because there's no other way to put it. Life is hard, life sucks, and it's all you can do to get out of bed in the morning. Because if that's how you feel, if that's how you look at tomorrow, wherever tomorrow is for you, then obviously you are a spirit being, but you're not living in the spirit of Christ. You're a spirit being that's being swallowed up and covered up by the world. And there's scripture to back this up, Jim, isn't there?
Yeah, BJ, I'm really thrilled about the subject tonight to talk about this. I don't think that the world has had a time like there is right now where this pertains more to all of humanity. It seems to me that with all the distractions that are out there today, and we're going to cover some of this tonight, that more than ever, you have opportunity constantly to be swallowed up, as BJ mentioned, covered up in things that are of nonsense of this world. And what it does is it directly affects your effectiveness in the spirit. And so, yes, there's wonderful scriptures that we have to you tonight. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and just open up with a really good scripture that for most people that, let's just say it this way, you've been around a message of hope and healing and deliverance and a message of the work that Jesus has done, you'll know these scriptures very well. It's over in James in chapter 1. And I'll just make a couple of comments here, and then, of course, I really value my time here with my co-host, B.J. Rickard, and the time we have to talk back and forth. So we'll get right into that. Look it over here in James in chapter 1, and it talks here in verse 22. We're admonished by James, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So right away, James is telling us that you can be a person that hears a message, hears truth from God, and then not be a doer. And if you're not a doer and you hear something only, then you're deceived. Which, BJ, that brings me to a point. What's the potential that there's a lot of deceived people out there that are hearing messages, in fact, even have the ability to even recite scripture and quote back to you messages they've heard, yet they fall into the category of being deceived because they're not allowing what they're hearing to change their life? It doesn't affect their heart.
Right. It's, think of it this way, folks. Maybe you go to a church, maybe you go to a building. I don't know. I don't care. That's your life. But you think that there is some type of a bar to cross, some line to be drawn in the sand, that if you work hard enough, if you pray hard enough, if you do good enough, that you're going to get to a point where all of a sudden someone just hands you a certificate and says you're a Christian, you're going to go to heaven, all your prayers are going to be answered. That's not true. That's not the case, because it's a matter of a very simple choice. It's about deciding that you are who you are and living it. Because it's easy to say quack. It's easy to have a pool in your backyard and go swimming.
Yeah.
It's easy to eat corn. But if you're eating corn and you go quack and you swim in your pool, are you a duck? No. So if you go to a building, if you go to a church, if you read your Bible, if you pray, and I'm going to add this show, if you listen to this show, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are one with God. Because it's not so much about what you read. It isn't so much about what you say, but it has everything to do with who you are and how you feel. Because you can say, I like something, and you don't like it at all because you're just being polite.
That's right.
So obviously it's not your words.
Right.
How many times have you gone somewhere and you hated the restaurant, you disliked the movie, you didn't even care for the people's home that you were in for hours on a holiday, but yet you went? So technically, you weren't there because your heart wasn't in it.
Your heart wasn't in it. That's good.
So if your heart is not with God, if your heart isn't being a spirit being, no matter how you dress, no matter where you go, what you listen to, what you read, you're literally kidding yourself.
Yeah. Let's
back
talk
that up with scripture.
Well, Proverbs 3:27 or 23:7, excuse me. I'll say it again. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, or as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that brings upon, and it intertwines here with James in chapter 1. It brings us to a real central thought here. How do you see yourself? BJ made the comment a couple of moments ago where he said it's about how you accept your life. What do you accept about your life? What are these small decisions that you're making? It's very interesting. Jesus confronted this very issue, BJ, and he made this comment, which is great. He said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Now, remember, folks, put all these things together. We won't lose you in the translation. But as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So where is your heart? BJ said, here you are. You're going to a party or some event, but your heart's not in it. So technically, you're not really there because your heart's not there. So let's begin to draw some conclusions here. And James helps us out with this whole idea of what are you thinking on? How do you see yourself? Well, the next verse here says, in James verse 1:23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now, James is getting ready to describe what a person looks like when they hear the Bible, they hear messages, they hear truth, but they don't act on it. It says here that they observe themselves. It says, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. So let's draw this conclusion. If you hear something, hearing is tantamount to seeing. When you hear something, you were made by God to see something on the inside. I want to share a quick thought with you so that you understand where we're going. Paul said something. He said, stop looking at the things which are seen and look at things that are not seen. Do you realize, folks, what we're endeavoring to do with this show is condition you to experience something that is very natural. It's called the spirit realm. It's called a relationship with God, where you are a spiritual being, God is a spirit, and there should be communion, fellowship, conversation, and experience in the spirit world. Well, what would keep you from that? And the answer is everything in this world. So right here, James is saying, if you hear a message, it should produce an image. You see yourself in the mirror. What do you see in the mirror when you look at it in the morning? You see a reflection. James is trying to say, we were made to see reflections based on what we hear. So my point again is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What kind of reflection do you see? What do you see of yourself? How do you perceive yourself? Because here's something that I'm noticing all over the world as I preach. People will say one thing on one side of their mouth, and BJ, out of the other side of their mouth, they're already, before the service is over, doing something totally different.
Yes, exactly. It goes to your energy. It goes to your intent. Where is your intent?
I like that.
What is your motivation? Where is your desires? Because it's really true when, you know, no one makes you do anything that you don't want to do unless you're being beat up or there's a gun to your head. I mean, there's abuse and there's no reason to dig it up, but there's people that literally have bruises on their body and they're made to do things. That's different. But I'm talking about the choices that you make. If you choose to go shopping instead of spending time praying, if you choose to have a plan B just in case the plan A, the Christian way, fails, well, it's already failed. Because when you disconnect yourself from your spirit, and that's really what you do, no one takes your spirit away from you.
Right.
It's yours.
Right.
That is the real you.
That's you.
So if you don't acknowledge that you're a spirit being, if you have a disconnect in your mind from your spirit and from your heart, that's on you.
Yeah.
That can't be done by the world. That can't be done by negative energy, devil, Satan, whatever you want to call them. That is something that you make a simple choice to do. You choose. You literally make a simple, ridiculous choice that goes right by you. It's in front of your face like a summer breeze when it's 95 degrees outside and you're standing still, and all of a sudden there's this little refreshing breeze, and you think, wow, that kind of felt good. And then all of a sudden, 2 or 3 minutes later, you're hot and you're sweaty again, and you go, boy, that was a momentary breeze. What happened to it?
Right.
It's still there. It never left. It's just that you're so caught up in whatever you're doing in 95 to 100 degree weather that for a moment, your mind was clear, your heart was clear, you weren't thinking about what you were doing. You were literally standing still, and you could appreciate the calming, soothing, relaxing of a soft summer breeze.
Yes.
That's what grace is.
Yeah.
Grace doesn't come and go. God doesn't come and go. They're always there. It's whether you recognize them or are you caught up in stuff.
Right.
And by the way, on this show, stuff, I shovel it every morning out of my barn, and then I put it in a manure spreader and I spread it on my pastures because stuff makes my hay grow. So if you're piled up with stuff, that's going to get in the way of what is always there.
Grace, BJ, is when you hear truth, to have an actual picture on the inside of your heart. It's that breeze. Think about what James is trying to tell us. He says, when you hear truth, immediately you see a reflection. Well, whose reflection are you seeing? You're seeing the real you. You're seeing the real you in light of Jesus and his finished work. These are things that are right before you. Because it says right here, the guy that doesn't do something about that. In other words, you see the real picture, but you don't act on the real picture. And that happens all the time. And yet, let me share this. I mean, just even in the last few meetings that I've been to, we've had on one hand an individual that was ministered to at least three or four times. And it's because he would never accept that anything had happened. And the last time I ministered to him, he comes up to me and this is what he says. Okay, now what do I do? And I said, excuse me? Right. He says, what do I do? And I said, but it's done. What do you mean, what do you do? And this is what he said. He said, you laid hands on me and I didn't feel anything. So what do I do? I said, but what did you believe?
Yeah, you're so much nicer than me.
This is what I said to him. Well, actually, I did. I felt like I was a little bit picking up on the way you say it.
You're so much nicer than me.
Okay. Well, then let me try. Let me show you what I said to him. I said, I'm really sorry to have to say this. Of course, I don't think you would have said that part.
No.
I said, I'm really sorry to have to say this, but you don't believe a cotton picking thing.
Yeah.
What did you listen to for the last 3 days? Where were you?
Yeah.
The work is done. Your miracle is already here. And I said to him, why aren't you outside running a half of a mile? Yeah. Why aren't you shouting the victory?
Right.
Because he had pain on the backside, you know, because there were some problems there.
Well, the reason he had pain on his backside is because his nose and his eyes were being rubbed on by his wallet and his handkerchief in his back pockets, because that's where his head was.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I could have said that too, but I didn't. But anyhow, my point...
because you're a nice guy.
My point was, what are you believing?
Yeah,
see, I just got through preaching this message.
There's nowhere in Scripture does it say that you know.
Sorry, I'm getting a picture.
Well,
see, that's what we're talking about tonight. Words just created pictures, folks.
See, I run into people all the time. They recognize me. They recognize my voice, not from this show, but from another show that I do about horses. But anyways, they come up and they start talking, or they'll recognize me from being associated with Jim in this show. And they'll say, you know, I pray and it doesn't work. And the first thing I say is you haven't prayed.
Right.
Because is there anywhere in anyone's Bible, in any language, does it say that it is even possible to pray and not have it work?
Yeah.
Because it says, ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
All prayers will be granted.
Yeah.
And so right there, I put the brakes on and I tell them that. And I says, so what does that say? What does that say? Well, it means I'm not praying, but I am. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You have a diagnostic problem here.
Yeah.
You need a spiritual diagnostic test. Because you are disconnected from your spirit.
Right.
And if you're disconnected from your spirit, you have no connection with Christ whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because it says, ask and you'll receive. Don't worry about things. There's nothing good of this world. All sins are forgiven, and every prayer will be answered instantly. So if your prayers aren't being answered, and if your life is tough, then that means you need a diagnostic test.
Right.
You need to sit in a chair without a radio on, without a television on, and you need to sit in that room and you have to say, okay, what's wrong with this picture?
Right.
What am I doing wrong?
Right.
And if you do that earnestly, if you do that honestly, I promise you folks, in short order, you're going to have an epiphany, a thought. You might cry, you might weep, and then all of a sudden you're going to get past that. Why? Because all sins are forgiven.
Yeah, if you'll listen to what BJ just said, I'm going to make a point of just pulling out one of the words he used. If you do that earnestly, there's your intent. There is your resolve. I was asked a question today. Okay, I'm beginning to see this picture. Well, how do I get it to work in my body? And I said, but where's your resolve? Where's your commitment? Where is your conviction of what you see? In other words, instead of making all kinds of false steps, adding all kinds of extracurricular. Now, listen, let me go back and show you something. All religion always adds something to the gospel message. The gospel message is simple. If I get BJ off on talking about how simple it is, you're going to have another 45 minutes of how simple this message is, because that's the truth. It's simple. It's not supposed to be difficult. But what does religion always do? Religion always complicates something that's simple. And the way that they do it is they always add something to it. Okay, I've got a picture and a resolve of who I am. Now, what else do I need to do? Well, you don't. That's the resolve. Notice what he said. If you get alone with God and you earnestly ask him, where's my disconnect? Now, you have to get ready for what he's going to say. But if there's an earnest, heartfelt prayer, it will avail much. BJ, there's actually in James 5, 16, 17, and 18, and 18 tells us the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working.
It has,
what does that sound like? That sounds like an answer to prayer, doesn't it?
It's resolve. It's folks, if right now, if someone told you that there was no refrigerator, no stove, no toilet in your house, they called you on the phone and they said, you don't have any major appliances in the kitchen and there's nothing in the bathroom, you'd laugh and you'd hang up the phone. Even if you were in your garage, even if you were on your cellular phone in your backyard, you would laugh, because you know everything that you know to be true. There's a toilet and a bathtub, there's a refrigerator, and there's a stove in the kitchen. You just know
it. Right.
You know it. Why? Because you use them, and you they're always there. You walk by them. You know they're there. You clean them. You maintain them. You use them. Well, think of that as far as grace. Unless you have that much conviction and resolve, I mean, it's nice to have faith and it's okay to believe, but I'm here to tell you folks that faith and conviction are the mother and father. Faith and belief are the mother and father, and their birth child is conviction. You have to have a step farther. And if you don't have that, if you don't do that, then where do you hang your hat? What real tangibility do you have to enjoy grace? Because you have it now. I'll put it to you this way, and it's really true, and I've told Jim this before.
Right.
You know, the difference between a building and a church is this. A church should be like McDonald's, where you roll up, you roll down your window, and you say, I'd like this prayer answered, and I'd like this prayer answered, and I need a supersize of grace. And you say, thank you, Jesus, and you move on. Because the whole idea behind, quote unquote, finding religion, getting God, being a Christian, it's not a continual thing that you have to do. Once you're there, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a church should have a revolving door on it.
Yeah.
Because you've been saved, you've been baptized, you have grace. Now we need you to get your butt out of that chair, because there's someone else that doesn't have what you have.
Right.
This isn't something that you have to keep on achieving. You don't have to keep on working for it and doing it. Because if someone tells you you do, they're wrong.
Yeah, it's a finished work.
Where does it not say, believe in me, and you're there? It doesn't say, well, you got to keep on working at it. You got to keep doing it. You know, make sure that you have more than one set of church clothes, because you're going to wear these out going.
Right, right.
No, that's not it. If you have it, you have it. Because when you have it, you use it. And as you use it, you become closer to God. You start discounting and realizing the real follies, the real wastes of time in your life that have nothing to do with your spirit. And the important things you don't have to worry about anyways. Why? Because if you're a spirit being, do you really think God is going to let something happen to the most important, the things that are tangible in your life? No. It says in Scripture, don't worry about what?
Yeah, don't worry about a thing. Nothing. I have no thought for tomorrow. Cast your care upon the Lord. We're not supposed to worry about anything, BJ.
So then if you have worries, then obviously they're worldly worries.
Worldly concerns.
Which means that you're what? Wasting your time.
Yeah. Your thoughts are in the wrong place.
And think about this. How many times have you been at someone's house? I'll back this up about 12 minutes ago. How many times have you been at somebody's place for holidays? How many times have you been at a movie? How many times have you been listening to a radio station in the car or truck that you can't stand, but everybody else loves it? And what do you do with your mind? You turn it off, and you're somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because if you've tuned your mind to the world, I promise you, tuning your mind to the world will turn your heart off to God.
Yeah,
that's the distraction right there.
Yeah, I've got some great scripture to back that up over here in Romans in chapter 8.
Well, of course you do. That's your job.
That's right. It is my job. Romans chapter 8. And listen to this. This is as clear as you can get from what BJ just mentioned. It says here in the fifth verse of chapter 8, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." That's the world. "But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." Well, that's some pretty powerful stuff right there, where it's very, very simple to see there's a great separation here, folks. God's trying to tell us something. If you want your spiritual victories to be evidenced and experienced, things that Christ has done for you, then you got to get your mind out of this world. Now, here's the interesting thought. We're in this world, Jesus said, but we're not of this world. So you can't put value on the things of this world. Listen to what the Bible says here in Colossians 3 and verse 1. And I'm going to read out of the Barclay translation. It says, "If you have been raised to life with Christ, your heart must be set on the great realities of that heavenly sphere, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Your constant concern," notice your constant concern, "must be with heavenly realities, not with worldly trivialities." I'm going to read that again. "Your constant concern must be with heavenly realities, not with worldly trivialities." He's trying to say here, if the world engulfs your mind, you say, "Well, you don't understand. I mean, I have this practice I have to take my kids to. I have this meeting I have to go to. And then I have to go to this doctor's appointment. And I literally don't have any time during the day to do anything." Well, you know, I'm going to try to be nice again. And BJ's going to come on here and just say it as it is. But the real truth of the matter is the onus of all of that is totally on you. Those are all of your decisions. In fact, the other day, I'm preaching just 2 days ago or yesterday on these very things from James chapter 1, showing you that immediately after hearing and seeing what the Bible presents for you, you immediately go away and forget what manner of person you are, which I told everybody. That means the only way to forget what you see is to be taken up with something else. So it means by time you get to the parking lot, you're already thinking about your next meeting. You're already thinking about the confusion of whether or not you're going to have supper tonight or whether you have to get something to eat out. You're worried with the cares of this world. And folks, the Bible can't say it any better. It's exactly what BJ said. To be taken up with the cares of this world is enmity against God. Paul said it's death. He said, when you get your mind on Christ, it's life and peace. Now go back to our original scripture, Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're constantly thinking about this worldly trivialities, guess what that means? It means you're going to have the grace of God diminished in your life. It's going to be non-productive, and you're going to have pretty much a life like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry who has no grace afforded to them at all. Now, that's not the Christian experience that Jesus died for. He died for you to experience something that man can't experience without a relationship. And folks, that's the reason why we're here tonight, to direct your thoughts and your attentions, to help you to understand resolve and purpose so that you can experience something from God. I said a lot there, BJ. Go ahead and make it applicable with some of the good things that you say.
Well, I want to do this, folks. I want you to think about what Jim said for a second. I want you just to think about it and focus on nothing but clearing your mind of the things that are motivating you to listen to this show.
Good.
Because that's the point. That's literally the point of things. If you're listening to this show because you have cancer, if you're listening to this show because your marriage is in the dumpster and you're hoping that your spouse will take the vows as seriously as you are. If you're listening to this show because you're trying to learn how to make your prayers effective so that you can pray for a friend, a relative, a neighbor, or a loved one, whatever your motivation is for listening to this show, I promise you, you need to set it aside.
Yes.
You need to literally set it aside, because if you have any other motivation than just saying, I want a better relationship with my Father.
There you go.
I want to really have tangibility. I want to have evidence that I am a spirit being and I want to enjoy it. If there's any other thoughts, goals, lines in the dirt, any other reason for you listening to the show, I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. You've literally are, because you're think of it this way. You're a bricklayer and you have an unlimited amount of bricks and you have an unlimited amount of sand and cement and water. And you have the world's largest wheelbarrow and shovel, so you can mix everything up and you're building things out of bricks. If you're focusing on goals, if I could only get my prayers answered, if I could only be closer to God, then I could do this and this would happen. You're building things that are going to crumble. They're going to fall. Because that's not the recipe of success.
No.
You're not building anything. But if you're saying, I'm not going to care. I'm not going to be concerned anymore, because it's a waste of time. It's in God's hands and grace will take care of it. I just want to learn how to connect my spirit with my day-to-day life. Because if you do that, I promise you, you are building a wall bigger than the wall of China that no one can tear down.
That's
because
good.
That wall isn't... Those bricks are not going to be connected with cement and water and sand. They're going to be connected with God's grace.
Yes, amen.
Which is a formidable thing that cannot be breached.
Right.
You've got to prioritize differently than what you are. And the thing about it is you don't have to work harder. I'm telling you, you need to work less.
Work less. Yep.
You need to not be concerned. It's kind of funny, because people always said that I just didn't care. They'd say, you didn't care. And they'd say, since you've learned how to walk again and you're not paralyzed, you don't even care anymore. And I says, no, I don't. Because there's nothing to care about. Where does it say in Scripture that you're supposed to care?
No, cast your care.
Where are you supposed to be concerned about?
That's right.
You're not. Because if you're concerned, if you care, if you think you have to do it, then what are you doing? You're turning your mind, your heart, and your physical body into this earth, which means that you've just your back on Christ.
On God. One of our favorite scriptures, we're in Matthew chapter 6, and we love how it ends, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But before we get to that verse, BJ, remember where Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow? Well, look at the words that he used, folks. You can either take a thought for tomorrow, or you can choose to not take a thought. You know, when we make comments like it's a simple choice, it really is a simple choice. We're getting this out of Scripture. We're not just making this up. Jesus is telling us there are many thoughts that you can take or you can refuse. And tonight we're actually putting some of the emphasis on what are you thinking on? What's your mind dwelling on? Because the sum total of what you do in your life has to do with what you're thinking about. I made reference to this, BJ. I said, what if a journalist, it was his job to go home with you for 24 hours? What would his essay be or summary be on your life? Would it be that we've got some really conflicted people here? They say one thing out of one side of their mouth and they do exactly opposite. Or would he say, I've never met people of such conviction and resolve. You wouldn't know it, but these people actually believe they're well. It's amazing to see their faith.
It is. I'll put it to you this way. I was talking to my neighbor about 3 or 4 days ago. We were checking fences and we're trying to hunt coyotes. We're ranchers, and you know, so coyotes are the worst enemies we have besides trespassers. And we met up in a fence, and he was on one side of the fence and I was on another side of the fence, and he said, well, what do you think? And I says, I don't know. And he says, well, it's about time to plant crops. And he says, I've been going to church and I've been praying that this drought's going to be over and we're going to have a good spring. And he said, hey, I've got my insurance man coming out next week and I'm going to get hail insurance. And I started laughing. And I said, why do you need hail insurance? And he says, well, because if we get a spring or a summer storm and it hails, it's going to wreck my crops. And I said, but you told me you've been praying for good crops.
Yeah.
And I said, so basically what you just told me is, just in case your prayer doesn't work, in case God is too busy or God can't control the weather, you're going to have a Farm Bureau hail insurance, right? And he got this look on his face and he says, sometimes I really hate you. He says, the way you say things really just bites to the bone sometimes.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's what you're saying. And he says, well, what are you doing about the drought? And I says, I'll tell you what I did. I just ordered twice as much twine for the hay baler. And he goes, you only got one cutting last year. You've still got twine left over. I says, yeah, but I told God I wanted to bale hay this summer. So I think I just stocked up on twine. What did I just say about my prayer?
Yeah, it worked.
And he says, I've never looked at it this way.
That's awesome.
And I says, what does it say when you get up on a Sunday morning and you take a bunch of pain pills so that your legs don't hurt when you go to church and you pray for healing?
Yeah.
When you wake up in the morning, say, I'm not going to take any more pain pills. I'm going to throw them out. I'm going to flush them in the toilet. And I'm not going to church to pray for no more pain. I'm going to church and I'm going to thank God that there is no pain.
There you go. That's good.
What's the difference? It's called conviction and belief.
Yeah, otherwise.
It's your attitude.
Otherwise, BJ, we're filled with plan B.
Yes.
And in fact, I've seen for years people jump from, and I've seen this for years now, from meeting to meeting. They're like your proverbial meeting jumpers, like pew jumpers. I mean, they're in this meeting, then they're in the next meeting, then they're in another meeting, and you never see them with an answer, but they're going from meeting to meeting, from minister to minister, endeavoring to have hands laid on them here, hands laid on them here, hands laid on them here. Now, what does that say about any one of
it's
those
doubt.
Times?
It's doubt.
It's unbelief. In fact, an old preacher by the name of Smith Wigglesworth, you're like the way he said this. He said, if you prayed 10 times, he said your first 9 times are unbelief.
Yeah. Yeah, and probably the 10th is too.
Probably the 10th is too. But his point was, just like you see, that going from here to there, to another person, to another person, only gives tangibility to the idea that you don't believe anything. You're waiting to see something first. And Paul made it real clear. We walk by faith, not by sight. This is a very interesting thing because we're admonished. And BJ, go ahead and make a comment about this. Paul admonished us. He said, don't look at the things which are seen. Look at the things that are unseen, which is really kind of a paradox if you think about it. You're looking at something that you can't see. In your estimation, what's Paul trying to say there?
Well, what he's trying to say is that you got to get over yourself. You literally have to get over yourself, and you have to get over your life, because the real waste of time and the real ridiculousness and folly of life, and I'll take it one step farther, the biggest sin in your life is not turning your back on the world, but turning your back on God.
On God.
It's the biggest sin there is, and it's the biggest roadblock there is.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I run into people all the time. They say the most ridiculous things, and I just bite my tongue and I keep my mouth shut so someone doesn't shoot me in the back as I walk away. But I'll give you an example. I was in a store a couple of weeks ago, and this husband and wife are in front of me at the checkout stand, and they're talking, and they're saying, you know, let's just keep praying about this. And the husband says, yeah, let's keep praying about this. And at the same time, let's see if we can borrow some money from our folks to help us.
Right.
Plan B.
Yeah.
You know, what you just said, there, somewhere on the face of the planet, there's a family that loves their children. And one of their children has something wrong with them. And they have the financial means, and they have the financial freedom to literally jump on a plane, and they can go to all the quote-unquote, I'm not going to say spiritual, I'm going to say religious, because there's a difference. They go to all the religious leaders. If someone's written a book, if someone's got a television show, if someone has shaken hands with a president, there's somebody that can afford to go to them. And they'll fly from point A to point B. And then they'll say, you know, well, it didn't work with this guy. Well, what do you think? Well, you know, this guy, he's written books. He has television shows. He has radio shows. Let's go to this guy. Well, I'm telling you, they spend more time planning their itinerary, where they're going to eat, what hotel, motel they're going to stay in, contacting that minister, preacher, rabbi, whatever he calls himself, to say that we're coming to town. And the first thing they're going to say is, okay, where are we going to go next? Well, they're really just literally saying, every time they buy a plane ticket, they're saying,
that's right,
we're not connected with God.
Right.
There is no grace. We're not connected.
Right.
And we're praying and we're going to show God all the stuff we're doing.
Yep.
The only thing you're showing Jesus, the only thing you're showing God, the only thing you're showing the Holy Spirit is that you have the means, the motivation, and the time to ignore them.
Yes.
You're so busy trying to be a Christian, you're not a Christian. I know that sounds really harsh, but think about that. I'm going to say it again. You're so busy working at being a Christian, you're not a Christian. Because there's no work involved.
No.
You were born with it.
It was the grace of God.
If all your sins are forgiven, and there's nothing good of this world, and all you have to do is ask and you shall receive, where's the words work, effort, come in? Remember I told you in the first half hour that faith and belief are the mother and father of the child, which is conviction. Because if you're convicted about your relationship with God, I promise you, he's just as twice as convicted that you're his child,
right,
made in his image, and you will do greater works than he does.
That's great.
And the greater works is the fact that you have to turn your back on a ridiculous, busy, hustle, bustle, a mind-boggling, heart-numbing world and society that we live in.
Right.
Jesus didn't have to deal with video games. Jesus didn't have to deal with traffic. Jesus didn't have to deal with microwave ovens. Jesus didn't have to deal with terrorism. No, think about all the things that man has created that are nothing but distractions. I'm here to tell you that if Jesus was walking around right now today, he would literally be ignored. Why? Because you would never see him in the places that we go, because the places we go are distracting.
Right. Yeah, it's very good. And that's why I want to go ahead and take you back to the last part of James, because it's right down the alley. It's all dovetailing very well together here tonight. And folks, I trust you got a hold of what BJ just said. There's something very profound in that. When you see that all sins are forgiven, not only does it speak very highly of how the nature of sin has been destroyed when you became a new creature in Christ. These are all phrases that are religious phrases, but it just very simply means when your heart was made brand new by Christ, he destroyed that nature of sin. That is the reason why you can be a son of God. But when all sins are forgiven, it also means that up ahead in the world, there's going to be a whole lot of things happening where you're going to have great opportunity to sin. And God has already solved it all so that you can actually live in peace. And it shows us that this world is going to become extremely sinful. That's why Paul said, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Jesus prophesied in the last day, it'll become just like Sodom and Gomorrah. It'll be like the days of Noah, where there was such unrighteousness that there were only 8 people that made it into the boat. Think about that, folks, that were saved. Think about the few that came, Lot's family, the few that came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And one of them didn't make it because she turned back and wanted to look at Sodom and Gomorrah instead of keeping her eyes focused on Jesus. Well, now we've just preached ourselves right into this verse. Listen to what it says. For the solution to the guy that forgets what manner of man he was. He hears the Bible, but he's deceived. Do you know it's very possible in the churches you go to that there are multiple people sitting there that have heard all kinds of sermons. They've never acted on them. They've never done anything with them. They're just like the guy BJ preached to. Actually, the things that he spoke to his neighbor. Think about that. You prayed at church, and now you're buying hail insurance. Why? Well, just in case my crops don't make it. But you prayed at church, so your prayer wasn't a real prayer. And that man says, I hate you, but, you know, your words are so sharp. Well, no, his words were just accurate. That's all. When you speak accurate words, this is what Jesus said. The Bible tells us that the word of God is like a hammer. BJ, I never told you that verse is in there. I don't know if you remember that, but the word of God is like a hammer. Well, that's because
it's absolute.
That's right. It's so absolute that it'll just beat the tar out of all the nonsense that religion and worldly thinking derives.
Christ is a sledgehammer and this world is a rubber mallet. What is a rubber mallet? A rubber mallet is a fake hammer. It looks like a hammer. You swing it like a hammer, but a rubber mallet does what? It does nothing. You can't hammer a nail with a rubber mallet.
No.
You can't break things with a rubber mallet. Why? Because it's false. Folks, the world is a rubber mallet, and grace is a sledgehammer.
Yeah, it works.
It works.
Absolutely works every
time. And it does what it wants.
What it's supposed to do. And so that's where when the Bible says that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish and it will prosper therein. Well, the very possibility of the word of God prospering in your life means there may be a couple of ouch, ouch, that hurts, ouch. Because in order to see the word of God straight, you're going to have to turn from the world. You know, BJ made a comment, and I'm going to get back to this verse right here. He made a comment about, you know, families out there that love their children and want to take them to ministers and to different ministries. And on one hand, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you have plan B and you pick out the top 10 ministers, and if it doesn't work with this one, it'll work with that one, and then it'll work with this one, and maybe it'll work with that one. You've done nothing more than turn your back on God. Because you're placing your value on an alternate plan instead of placing your value on one prayer that absolutely works and it's over and it's finished. And that's where your heart makes a connection. Your heart can't connect when it's connected to nothing more than rubber mallets, compromise, and I'm not sure this is really going to work. All right, let's get back here to this verse. It says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work." The way that you act on the Word of God is allowing the Word of God to give you a picture and never letting the world distract you from the image you see from God. When God says, "By his stripes you were healed," what other image do you need to see? I remember at 3 o'clock in the morning sitting there with a body that was 130 pounds, and I had just gotten through 3 weeks of agony as I was, my belly had a perforated bowel, and 3 weeks of agony, losing weight like crazy, 130 pounds with no strength. And I went out into the living room and I basically just said this, "God, we're going to have a real short prayer here tonight. You said in your word that by your stripes," in other words, Jesus took my infirmity, and by your stripes, the wounds, the affliction that Jesus took for me as my substitute, you said I was healed. Well, Father, I'm not going to say another word about it. I'm not even going to say an amen. It's just so. That's all there is to it. I'm healed. Thank you very much. This is the last time you and I will talk about healing. Good night. I got up. And BJ, I'd been taking all these, and there's nothing wrong with taking good supplements. There's nothing wrong with a good vitamin. Everybody ought to have a good vitamin. But I was taking all these things that were just, I mean, almost making me gag, trying to get so much healthy things into my body. And I don't advocate just running around and grabbing sweets like crazy. But I got up on purpose, made myself a chocolate milkshake just because I wasn't going to put my trust in a supplement. I had put my trust in God, and that was the end of the story. It was just that simple. There was a conviction, folks. It was the end of the story. The case was closed. There was no more argument. There was no longer anything else to discuss. It was over. The next day I got up, I didn't feel any better. But the next day I went on a meeting, and I took my golf clubs. My wife had to embarrassingly lift my clubs and my suitcase out of the car because I was too weak to even lift it. I had my belt buckle with new holes in it trying to keep my pants up. And I went to this meeting and I preached my heart out. And within a week's time, my body gained unbelievable weight gain and significance. Strength had come back in my body. My bowels were working perfectly normal as they ought to. Standing on the first tee of the golf, I couldn't even hit past the ladies' tee. But by the time nine holes it had evolved, I was already hitting 250 yards down the fairway. My point is, the conviction of my heart was single-minded, BJ. I didn't have an alternative plan. I made up my mind it was over. I really didn't even pray a prayer, BJ. And yet, really, think about it, the conviction of my heart was every bit of prayer, was it not?
It was. It goes to what we've been talking about this hour, and what hopefully all of you will find this week. I want to invite you all this week to email us. We have email. It's on the Contact the Show page on the show's website, theinvitingpresence.com. Also, if you don't have access to email, or if you want to write something much longer, well, send us a letter. We have a P.O. box. You can do it that way as well. So send us anything that you feel you want to send us in the mail. Send it. The thing about prayers, Jim, is that they're not supposed to be a lot of them. They're not supposed to be complicated, because the important things don't need to be prayed about at all.
Right.
Because when you have a real good relationship with God and you're enjoying grace, you really don't need to pray for healing.
Right.
You really don't need to pray for food or water or shelter. You don't need to pray for salvation. You don't need to pray for to be forgiven, because you are. It's like I tell you, the closer I become to God, the less I pray. Why?
Right.
There's not much to pray about.
Right.
The reason there isn't a lot to pray about is because most of the things that people pray for are of this world and have nothing to do with their spirit.
Right.
It's not going to do you any good to buy a lottery ticket and pray that you win the lottery ticket so that you have more money to go to the Indian casinos with, or to buy a boat, or to go golfing, or to go hunting, or to spend time away from your family, because obviously you're probably already spending way too much time away from your family as it is.
In the first place, yep.
So is that a prayer? No.
No.
Would it ever be granted? No. Why would somebody so good and so loving provide you with something that's just going to take you farther clicks away and be more distracted than you already are?
Right.
Think right. about what you're asking for. That's the ridiculousness of continually praying to be healed. Why? If you really believe, pray once and it's done. Because if it doesn't get answered, if it's not done, then obviously it's because you really didn't pray. You weren't convicted. This right. is really harsh, but it's true.
Yeah.
And it's in Scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very Talk much, about that.
Very much so. Well, you know, Jesus made it so very plain in the last few minutes. We'll just summarize some of this. But he made it very plain, especially John, who wrote those words of Jesus, ask and you shall receive, for everyone that asked, it shall be given. He who seeks shall find. To him who knocks, the door shall be open. It's very, very absolute. I've said this for years, that everything about God is absolute, because without it being fixed, there's no way for you to have strong conviction or faith. John went on to say some things in 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. He said, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petition of that which we've asked. So right then again, that's like an amplified version of ask and you shall receive. Folks, tonight, I believe you're hearing something, and it continues to go over and over and over again. Where are your thoughts? Are your thoughts and convictions in this world gobbled up with all the distractions of life? Or are your thoughts on Jesus, this wonderful grace and provision of God that came through your relationship with Christ? Is it that your heart is convinced and at peace, where you're at rest and know that the battle is over and the victory is won? Or is your heart full of frustration and distraction and disappointment? Are you chasing your tail, running around the world, trying to find somebody to help you? Or could you put all of your energy that you're using to run around the world with in a simple prayer to say, Father God, Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm right here with you. Is it just that simple, or do we need to complicate it? I'm going to pray for you right now. I believe God wants to take the things that we've spoken tonight and make them very real to your heart. We want to hear answers to the prayers that are being prayed. We want you to email us so that we have some of these things that we can share on the show. It'll be an encouragement for everybody. Right now, go ahead and just be in a place or an atmosphere of worship and reverence. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the work that he did to make our life extremely simple, where we can put our trust in you and see things actually change. So we pray tonight for everyone out there. Specifically, I pray for Kelly right now in Midland, Texas. And say, Kelly, even as you listen to this broadcast, the power of Jesus Christ is upon your body. And the wonderful feeling of deliverance from all that pain and pancreatic cancer, that deliverance is on you right now and God's grace is there. Go ahead and just rise up and just be so simply well and healed just like you know you are. I pray for families around this world that have children that are suffering. Be strengthened and encouraged in your heart that the grace of God is with you. And the power of God arrests that cancer, that disease, that illness, that condition. And Jesus becomes your sole purpose. In the name of the Lord God, people, be healed right now and receive his grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, folks, If this sounds harsh, if it sounds hurtful, that's your spirit nagging in you. If you have an aching deep inside your chest, in your stomach, almost like you're hungry, or almost like you've eaten something that doesn't agree with you after listening to this broadcast, it's because you're getting it. It's an easy choice. It's a simple choice, but it's not easy. It's not easy to accept the fact that possibly what you believe to be true isn't true. It's literally like finding out that water isn't wet, water's dry, and the ground is wet. The words have been used wrong for your entire life. It's finding out that something that profound. Because once you do that, once you open up your mind to the possibilities,
yes,
you will find things so much easier. You may have to listen to this show a couple of times. I'm sorry that you're going to have to listen to Jim and I for a couple of times, but you may have to get this across. If you have questions, if you need guidance or help, we have email. We have U.S. Postal. We want you to enjoy this show. We want you to spread the word about the show. I'd like you to take time to do that. Maybe you know somebody that's hurting. Maybe you know somebody that might need some guidance from Jim Huckaday. You know, you need to check out his website. You can go to the abidingpresence.com website, and you can go to About the Host, and you can see, log on there, and it'll click you over and send you over to links page, send you over to Jim Huckaday's website. You'll find out where he is, all the things that he has to offer for you if you need more assistance. We want you to take care of yourselves and take care of your pets. And don't spend more time praying. Just pray for what's important.
That's good.
A good show.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I'm real glad with what's been shared. And I like that you made the little statement at the end. If people are sad, help to understand. It's your heart trying to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you did good.
Thank you. You too.
You got a great show. All right. Good night, folks.